Yeah, Jimmy. Got to start it out on 104.3 FM, WQAM, Miami sports leader, with a little Taylor Swift. She has announced her engagement to Travis Kelce, who remarkably is the most famous Kansas City Chief of all time now.
Yep. And he needs to put a baby in her as soon as possible.
She needs a prenup as soon as possible.
make a baby. You're connected for at least 18.
Money, man. Professional athlete money. And it's dwarfed by what she has, man.
I got the bill. No, I got the bill, Travis. Don't worry about it.
I've got the bill forever. cornerback help is on the way here in Miami. Rasul Douglas is coming to the Dolphins. Sports talk on WQAM, presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. And we are going to be NFL and college football heavy today. Ooh. Fred Taylor is going to join us.
Freddie T.
Oronde Gadsden is going to join us.
Oh, gee.
And Danny Cannell is going to join us. DK? We are talking. What's that?
DK? Is that a cool nickname?
Yeah, DK, I guess. That is his nickname, DK?
I don't know. I just, you know, because I was Freddie T, OG, then I didn't have anything for Danny.
Can we just refer to him as DK the entire segment and see if he calls you out on it?
No argument from me.
I got you. You know I love a nickname.
So we're going to talk pro and college football with them. NFL cutdown day, it is here. And it is 4 p.m. when all the cuts will be in and the madness starts. In fact, we were talking on text with Oronde this morning, and he's sweating it out, even though I don't want to jinx it. But I'm sure Oronde Gadsden II is safe. But until you see that come and go as a player or a father, I think that that's probably the emotion that you're feeling, which is what OG is feeling right now, which he is just kind of sitting around with bated breath, waiting for 4 o'clock to roll around. What he said, really, 4:30, because as we know, the other teams look at who was released at 4 o'clock, and then they start making a secondary round of releases to go get people they want.
A fifth round draft pick that scored a touchdown in the preseason, that had 2 900 plus yard seasons at Syracuse. He's making the team. I tried to tell y'all this on text. They should already be celebrating. Go get a drink, little OG. Go get a drink. Come on down to Uncle Chan, and we can have us a good time at Tootsie's.
Yeah. Well, let's see if it becomes official. I'm not jinxing anything.
Austin Spittler made the team for 4 years.
I'm not telling you that I don't think he's making the team. I'm just telling you I wouldn't celebrate it in my family until it was official and the ink was dry. So you celebrated being a first-round draft pick, and you got selected in the third round. So how'd that work out? For you. I mean, you haven't learned that lesson.
Played 4 years, hit him in the head for another 2 years.
You haven't learned that lesson. You don't celebrate before it happens.
You celebrate.
You're the guy who drops the ball before you get to the end zone. You're that guy.
Huh. Just think about it. There's no draft picks for the Dolphins that are going to be cut today. That's Chris Greer 2 weeks or 2 months. I was going to exaggerate. 2 months later saying, oh, I didn't know he couldn't play football. Draft picks don't get cut. They don't get cut.
I'm with you. I don't think there's any chance he gets cut. I'm not celebrating it until it's official and OG wants to celebrate it.
When you were back in college and you were headed home from the bar with a sugar foot, you knew what was about to happen.
I'm not telling you that I don't think he's making the team. I'm telling you I'm not celebrating it till OG is celebrating it. Period, end of story. I'm not having a party about OG if OG's not involved in the party. Period.
Little OG is going to dress week one.
I agree with that. But I'm waiting till 4:30 today when Oronde Gadsden, our friend, can celebrate that, take a deep breath, and make it official. I asked Google AI How important to an NFL team is a good kicker? Here was the answer.
They don't need one.
A good kicker is critically important to an NFL team capable of winning or losing close games and significantly impacting decision-making on fourth downs.
What?
Modern kicking has evolved, making long field goals more viable and giving coaches greater confidence, leading them to rely more on kickers to put points on the board and gain a decisive edge.
Hulk, you could have asked Channing AI for that answer.
The impact of a poor kicker, according to Google AI, lost points, reduced confidence, shifts coaching strategy. It does. Solana, you don't think having a kicker who can't kick 50-plus yard field goals shifts your strategy as a head coach?
Every kicker that is at the NFL level can hit a 50-yard field goal.
Okay, so the guy...
Some are better than others. Some are better than others, there's no doubt. And some are more consistent.
Jason Sanders is better than others, Solana.
Yeah, I mean, that's a silly comment. Everyone can throw a touchdown pass then.
I don't think Jason Sanders...
I don't understand that. Every kicker can kick a 50-plus yard field goal. Every quarterback who's ever played in the league, Tim Boyle included, can throw a touchdown pass. So what's the point?
We're in the golden era of kickers. We're literally in the golden era of field goal kickers in the NFL.
Exactly what AI said.
And 32 to 40 or 32 to 38, the guys who aren't on the roster, so 33 to 38, truthfully, all those guys can make the same kicks that 1 through 32 can. Maybe not
Riley
as consistently.
Patterson, Barry Jackson.
No. He just said maybe not as consistently. No,
It's so dumb.
Maybe.
So Barry Jackson from the Miami Herald tweets out, the Dolphins have conveyed interest in signing kicker Riley Patterson to fill in for Jason Sanders. They were pleased with his workout. Greg Joseph and Zane Gonzalez and Eddie Pinheiro also worked out for Miami today along with Patterson. So if they sign Riley Patterson, he is, for his career, at 50-plus yards, 4 of 9. They've only tried 9 field goals because he is not capable of kicking long field goals. He has made less than 50% of them. And if you remember Jason Sanders' stats from yesterday, I think it was like 38 of 50 or more.
Yeah, it was something stupid. It was 6 of 8 last year, 5 of 7 the year before. He got a leg. Jason Sanders got a damn boot.
He does. I never said he didn't have a leg. And you can't just conveniently use that stat that they've only tried 9 kicks from 50 plus.
What do you mean
plus.
Conveniently?
No,
I'm saying
it's what they do.
No, but you can't say that they haven't tried more than 9 because he doesn't have the leg to do it from 50 plus. You don't know the context. You don't know the situation. And he hasn't been on an NFL roster as long as Jason Sanders has consistently as that team's field goal kicker.
Well, none
he's
of that is worrying.
From team to team.
Oh,
to
he's
team.
Bounced from team to team. I wonder
Riley
why.
Patterson.
Hold on.
Riley
last
Patterson
season.
Has been shadow banned from the NFL.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's
and
what
from
I was 50
plus yard field goals.
Last season, he was 16 for 16 on extra points. What percentage is that on extra points?
Extra points?
Going. Hold
extra
on. Just
points.
Help me out with the math. What percentage
extra
is that?
Points?
16 extra for 16?
Yeah, what but what do you think 100%? Jason Sanders in on extra point?
100%.
That's
he's 100% off. I said it yesterday. This is
career.
My argument for Jason Sanders. He's about to make for Patterson.
In
he's
his
100%
career.
100% last year.
In his career, 59 of 65, he has made kicks from inside 50 yards. And yeah, he's 4 of 9 from 50 plus. But he is 59 of 65 from inside 50 yards.
But that's
and
the
majority
that's
of
the
kicks.
Part. That's the part of the kicking game that is easily replaceable. The part of your argument where you're saying kickers are a dime a dozen is making extra points and kicking short field goals. The thing that separates having a good, reliable kicker from an ordinary dime a dozen kicker who's been on how many teams, Riley Patterson? How many teams in his career?
1, 2, 8 teams.
Yeah.
The difference between him and Jason Sanders is the inability to kick 50-plus yard field goals. That's why it's a drop-off, and that's why Jason Sanders going down is a bad thing for the Dolphins.
It's not as big of a drop-off as you guys are making it sound like. It is not. Right. And,
Take 50-yard-plus field goal attempts out of the game.
I stand by my take that if the Miami Dolphins are in trouble, according to you guys, because of Jason Sanders not being available, and if they're incapable for 4 to 5 weeks, probably week one, maybe two and three, maybe, we'll see. If they're incapable of winning those football games solely because their kicker is not healthy, then
how
there is
games?
A bigger issue at play, Hawk.
How many games last season? How many games last season did the Kansas City Chiefs win in the last second where they got outplayed? They won in the last second. I remember talking about it week after week on field goals. How many games?
Most NFL games are decided by single digits. That's why the lines are always 2.5, 4.5, 1.5.
Solana.
NFL games are decided by single digits, Solana. Solana, take off your fiance's sweatshirt and listen to what we're saying.
Solana, your argument is that the problem with the Chiefs having to win games with field goals last season was their offense and Andy Reid just couldn't hack it. That's your argument?
My argument from the very beginning is that Jason Sanders.
No. The argument you just made. The argument you just made in your last salvo is that if you're kicking field goals to win a game, that means your offense is faulty.
But here's the thing. Last season, Harrison Butker missed some time a season ago. He only played 13 games. The Kansas City Chiefs didn't go, uh-oh, we're in trouble. Uh-oh, we have a huge issue.
Uh-oh, we're in trouble. It's a loss. When you lose a starting player, it's a loss. No one's doing beyond that. What do you mean they didn't say, uh-oh? You don't think when Harrison Butker went down, they didn't say to themselves, well, that's a bummer. Now we got to try to find someone to replace his production?
They brought in Matthew Wright, and guess what? He went who I'm sure none of us have ever heard of. He went 8 of 9 last season.
And you're making a convenient shift of your argument. You just said if it comes down to a field goal, it's the offense and the coach's problem. So I'm asking you, when the Chiefs won games last season with a field goal, is that because their offense and their coaching was poor?
I'm not telling you that if the Dolphins need a game-winning field goal, that's the biggest problem. I'm saying that if the Dolphins over a length
what
of time.
You said. No. You said the Indianapolis
time,
game. No. You didn't say over
Jason
a length
Sanders.
Of time. You said and the Indianapolis game. If they have to win the Indianapolis game by a field goal, that's nothing to do with the field goal kicker. It has everything to do with the offense and the coaching.
Do you remember?
I believe there is a bigger issue at play if it comes down to a field goal. The Dolphins should be better than a field goal's worth than the Indianapolis Colts.
How many games are
decided? Do you remember the AFC Championship game when the Chiefs
Let's
Bills?
Let's compare the AFC Championship game to week one Dolphins Colts.
No, kickers don't matter. Oh,
I'm not saying that you can't say that. I'm saying kickers don't matter. I'm saying that the drop off between Jason Sanders.
If Butker's not on that team, the Chiefs lose.
I'm telling you that the drop off between Jason Sanders
and
Riley Patterson
is not as big as you guys are making it sound. All these guys who are readily available, who aren't on rosters, who are field goal kickers. Are really good kickers.
Why are they not on rosters? Why are we
because
said it, we said it before?
There's only 32 spots available.
No,
there's only
Solana,
32 spots. We're in a golden
era. There's only 32 quarterback spots as well.
Yeah, you can't compare the quarterback position to the field goal kicking position.
Yes,
you can. There's only Crowder. How many great quarterbacks? How many great quarterbacks are there in the NFL?
I'm going to get upset.
I'm more upset. How many great quarterbacks are there in the NFL?
This is stupid.
Hold on. How many great quarterbacks are there?
You know what? I don't want to relitigate this because we did it yesterday.
It's stupid.
It's stupid. You're saying things that are absolutely stupid.
You're saying things that are stupid.
Any kicker you're saying any kicker who's been cut and is available is a really good kicker. And it makes no sense. There's a reason they're cut. There's a reason they're not on a team.
I'm saying the drop-off between the guys who are at the very
No matter what the stats say.
And the guys who
aren't at the top, right?
So what about so left tackle?
Now you're throwing in the other position.
I'll play this game.
You keep trying to massage this god awful take.
It's dumb. Strong safety, left guard, all that. Like the only position that the people unemployed are just as good as the people that are employed is kicker.
Not just as good. Just I'm saying the drop off. The drop off is not as large.
The discrepancy between the top five quarterbacks and the bottom five starters.
It's not.
There's 22. Add punter and kicker. So kicker, punter, and 22 starters. So what's that?
Add long snapper
kicker,
for me.
Kicker, punter, long snapper. So there's 25 positions on a football team that start. Mm-hmm. The only position that doesn't drop off as far. Our special teams players. It sounds stupid, Solana. It sounds dumb, and it is dumb. It's dumb.
I'm buying a Riley Patterson jersey. That's fine. Solana, you guys don't have to buy into Riley Patterson.
I just want to ask you because I'm moving on. I don't want to do this again today because we did it yesterday. But I am going to ask you. Jason Sanders from 50 plus yards is 33 of 48 for his career.
Mediocre.
Riley Patterson is 4 of 9.
Right.
You don't think that's a significant drop off?
No.
Okay. All right.
Move on.
Well, that's all you need.
The Marlins won last night. We got to go past this because this is the dumbest thing in the world.
Miami football reports on WQAM are sponsored by Miami-Dade County Public Schools Technical Colleges. MDCPS Technical Colleges offer over 60 affordable accredited programs, day or evening, hands-on training aligned with local employers. Call 305-558-8000 or visit careerinayear.com. Launch your future today. Barry Jackson pointed out in the Herald today, Chris Greer and the Dolphins have traditionally had the patience to wait out April, May, June, July, and August. He says veteran free agents, believing they will ultimately take close to what they were offered initially, is where they focus, and that was the case with Odell Beckham and now Rasul Douglas. They had made a couple offers, according to Barry Jackson, for Rasul Douglas earlier. He had turned them down. They say that the offer that they've given him now is pretty similar to what he turned down earlier. Happened with Odell, if you remember. We kept waiting and waiting, and then he found that that maybe was the best offer available. So if you want to know a little insight into the Dolphins' strategy on this, onto waiting this long to get a Rasul Douglas. It is that. We have a giveaway today, the Holy Cap. We gave away our first one yesterday. It's a chance for you to win a Holy Cap apparel cap, a bold, rechargeable LED lit cap, glows in colors like Miami, blue, pink, fire, and orange. You want to keep listening, you'll have a chance to win. You can get info at WQAM.com. You can go to holycapapparel.com to see them. They're really cool. It's holycapapparel.com. We're going to give away one of these caps again today. Fred Taylor is going to join us in the next segment. Real quick look at the headlines. Brought to you by Doral Hyundai, the number one Hyundai store in the nation, just went full beast mode. Doral Hyundai, where the deals are monstrous and the prices don't survive. No one sells for less. No one.
Don't embarrass me with Freddie with this kicker talk, please. Let's go, man.
You could take an L every now and then. I've seen UFC fighters tap out before. Like that is just a brutal take by you.
Solana,
I am not tapping out at all.
Sitting here like your father. I'm telling you before the family comes, don't sing that song or tell that joke.
I'm not tapping out.
Willow does not like this.
This will end up being my magnum opus, and I think I speak for all of South Florida when I say, Riley Patterson, welcome. We are happy to have you. We appreciate you, and I can't wait to see how talented you are.
We don't even know if he's going to be the kicker.
Let's let it go. Let it go.
But your magnum opus is the kicker who's 33 of 48 from 50 yards plus. There is no drop-off to a kicker who is 4 of 9 from 50 yards plus.
That's my Mona Lisa.
Okay.
Yeah. That's Mona Lisa. That's so ridiculous.
Mona loser.
I'm Van Gogh, and that's my Mona Lisa.
We wish you would Van Gogh.
Cut your tongue off. Don't cut your ear off.
Van Gogh to the Tobin and Leroy show, because we can't take much more of this.
Do I run through the cuts, or you want me to just kind of read like the most notable names who have reportedly been cut already?
Super notable.
Eric Ezukama, cut.
Mm. Surprising.
Theo Weiss, the good news is, said he though, wanted size.
When you get cut, now you're available to other teams, and anyone who's cut and available is as good as anyone who's on a roster. So anyone who needs a receiver, Eric Ezukama is available.
He's Jerry Rice, Hawk. He's Jerry Rice. Yeah. Why they cut Jerry Rice?
Yeah.
Quentin Bell, Grayson Murphy, they have been cut as well. And
what's Grayson Murphy do?
I'm sorry?
What does Grayson Murphy do?
Linebacker.
So if anyone needs a linebacker, the next Mike Singletary is there and available. Well, because
it's funny. It's funny because, you know, Matthew Judon wasn't on the roster. The Dolphins brought him in, and we all have high expectations for Matthew Judon.
You don't think Matthew Judon is at the end of his career?
Sure. But I still think Matthew Judon can contribute and on a limited basis.
Oh, well, that's good. As long as he can contribute on a limited basis, then there's no drop-off from an all-pro currently.
Grandma can season the chicken. She can't fry it, though.
I mean, you're comparing. You're comparing. Whatever. I won't do it. I won't do it. You guys clearly have lost this argument, and you don't want to admit it. That's fine. That's fine. We can move forward.
Less salt, Grandma.
The Marlins did beat the Braves yesterday 2-1. Edward Cabrera, masterclass. He's been dealing. That's your 62nd victory of the year. Matches her win total from a year ago.
All right. Your 60 what?
60.
You said, hey, Hawk, you said oddity yesterday two times. And I didn't say anything during a live spot. So
oddity is a word.
Not the word you were trying to use, Jack.
But it's a word.
Cabrera's the 6th seed of what tournament?
And the Giants cut Tommy Cutlets. And the Browns yesterday traded Kenny Pickett.
Good news, though, if you need a starting quarterback, because, you know, when they're available on the waiver wire, they're really they're as good as anyone out there currently.
Your weather, it's 92 degrees. Tonight, the lows are going to drop into the upper 70s, whether it's Eddie Pinheiro, whether it's Riley Patterson, whoever you are coming to kick for the Dolphins. I welcome you.
Well, everybody welcomes him and everybody roots for him. But the notion that a kicker who's 4 of 9 in his entire life from 50 plus yards, less than 50%, isn't any worse than a kicker who's kicked almost 50 field goals from over 50 yards at over 50%, that there's no drop off. You need your head examined.
You're assuming that teams, when Riley Patterson was suited up for them at kicker, just avoided 50-yard field goals.
No,
and
I'm telling you that when they did trot him out there to kick a 50-plus yarder, more than half the time he missed them. And I'm telling you, when Jason Sanders gets trotted out there over 50-plus, more than half the time he makes them. That's a pretty easy decision for me. So you can do that with any number then, right? Just say law of averages.
Law of averages, Hawk. He kicked 10 more. So you can say that with any season.
So
he kicks 10 more this season, he'll make 7 of 10. Law of averages.
Right. So you could do that with any stats, right?
I'd put money on it.
Right? Matt Mervis, if he continued batting, law of averages would tell you he would hit 400 at some point. Yeah?
Well, Matt Mervis is trash.
Right?
No.
Based on what? Not Matt Mervis. Based on what? Based on what? Stats?
The drop off. No. Numbers? Based on the fact that literally every team we've watched him play for, he's batting under 200 every single team.
So the numbers.
Oh, the numbers count. The numbers count or they don't count?
You can't necessarily compare a batter who great numbers wise would be 30% to a field goal kicker. I'm sorry.
You know that
oranges.
You know, like oranges. You know, like 400 is 40%, 0.39 is 39% batting. Do you know that that's a percentage as well, just like kicking?
Like, to be quite honest, in baseball, there's less room for a drop off. In football, it's more pronounced.
Not in field goal kicking.
Well, it is, though. I just gave you the numbers.
Solana, I am going to burn your house down.
All right, Fred Taylor is going to join us in the next segment. We're going to mute Solana so that he doesn't embarrass us. So Fred Taylor joins us. We're going to talk some football with him.
You're listening to the Hawk, Crowder, and Solana Show.
Ain't no way Solana got a degree.
Before we talk football, I always remind you, best place to get geared up with Canes or Dolphins merch this season is Caneswear in Davie or online at caneswear.com. Fred Taylor is on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Fred Taylor, of course, part of The Pivot with Crowder and Ryan Clark. And everyone knows, I'm guessing, Fred's history at UF and with the Jags. I learned two things about Fred Taylor today, though, that I did not know. And I don't know if people know this because I was looking at his Wikipedia. I had no idea that he played two seasons with the Patriots. Did you know that, Crowder? Did you have any recollection of that? Was it against you?
I knew it, but he ain't do much, but I knew it.
What? Hold on, man. This is the introduction I get. First of all, I thought you guys were going to say Fred Taylor was on the toilet. I don't know where that came from, but Crowder knows. He knows that I played for the Patriots for a cup of coffee. 2 years, didn't do a ton. I went up there, won a starting job, got banged up both years. Unfortunately, the first time I experienced turf toe, the worst injury in football. Worst injury. But I
had no recollection of that.
The experience was amazing. It was a total amazing experience across the board.
The other thing that I learned, which I didn't know, is that he grew up in Belglade and went to Glade Central. Yep. I did not know that. I was not aware that you were a local guy. My first radio job was in Belglade at Sugar 900, the radio
station. Sugar 900, Mug City, on the lake. Yep. Wow.
Yep.
Sugar 900. I remember my fondest memory is the football games. Before I started playing, just hearing the football game on Sugar 900 every Friday night. And I said I wanted to be out there playing. And eventually
Glade
Bay
and Glade Central and Pahokee and Glade Central. I mean, that's religion out there.
I've heard the story. Fred, tell them when you got cut from a team but didn't make a team and you started running around the city and you built yourself into what you are. Yeah, it's a great story.
Yeah, no, I mean, I was a little crybaby, man. I was a kid in a neighborhood who, you know, I wouldn't get picked. I was on the sideline and, you know, they make fun of me. I just sit there. I wanted to play, but they wouldn't pick me. So I would cry. So I went away. I went out for the Airport Park League. Went out, played tight end and D tackle. Dropped all of the passes. I was fast, but I was awful. And it was the same high school, Glades Day, that my son eventually broke all of those records at. I remember every Friday night I would go and watch him play. I would still see that scoreboard. Same scoreboard, that score. 31-13, we got blew out by the Jets because I dropped three potential touchdowns. But either way, I just wanted to challenge myself. I ran around the entire city to see if I could do it. I went away for a few months, and when I came back, I was as big and as strong and as fast as most of the guys in the neighborhood after about really close to a year. I said a few months, but close to a year. And then they couldn't pick on me no more. I turned into the best athlete, was the only one that went pro. Really from my neighborhood, and the rest is history. So I just went and grinded, man, and God looked out for me.
Kind of happened with Solana too, right? Solana, weren't you tired of getting picked on, and then you kept walking briskly around town and country?
All worked out. I'm talking to Freddie T a couple years later.
Hey, Fred, he was honorable mention on the all-day team soccer.
Hey, I want
you got any more eligibility?
No, don't do that, Fred. Don't
I was gonna that, say because I got a soccer team in Jacksonville called Sporting Jacks.
Hey, Fred.
Hey, look,
I've got my pickleball championship medal from this past weekend. These guys, you know, they want to talk about some jokes here, but I'm just out here stacking championships. You know what I mean?
Stacking chips. What kind of pretzels, yes, Pringles? But listen, no, so. Pivot energy. What we're going to do is we're going to get into pickleball. because it's untapped, uncharted territory. So we feel that Pivot Performance Energy might be a good space for pickleball. So
Lana, you can be our first deal.
Our first NIL athlete. What do you say, Channing?
Fred. We got to find
somebody.
Now it's
got to go to RC for a vote. RC is going to be the decider because Fred's voting for Solana. Crowder's voting against him. We got to ask RC to be the deciding vote here.
He don't have no fleet feet. He can't really move like that.
But he got a medal. They giving him away now. Like what's going on?
Man, he playing 70-year-old women. No.
With bad knees.
hey, Fred, we all saw Crowder try to bench. I don't know why he's talking smack over here. This guy got half a rep up of 225.
Yeah, 0.5.
Benches like a 70-year-old woman.
Such an embarrassment. But I think Channing, he's very smart and calculated. He's calculated Crowder. I don't know if he would have got three. So in order to save embarrassment for not getting three, he said, I'm not going to get any and just play into it. I believe that's my guy playing chess. I don't know, but I know I have video of him doing push-ups. We set out to do 20. One night we were in Nashville when we first started to Pivot, and we went to do 20 push-ups. And it was about 1:30 in the morning. And, Broadway, you know how it goes. He did maybe three push-ups and tapped out. So,
Fred,
I don't know if you would have got
drunk. Fred, I was drunk. I feel like Denzel on Flight. I'm drunk. I'm drunk right now. You can't get me at 1:30 in the morning.
Yeah, you're right.
Let's talk football for a second so we don't waste all our time with Fred Taylor. And you saw the Jags and the Dolphins last Saturday night, preseason finale. I want to ask the question. I know you're a Jags guy. What's the difference between Tua and Trevor Lawrence? Is there a huge difference between Tua and Trevor Lawrence? Would you take one over the other? What do you see in Tua? What do you see in Trevor that's different?
Well, I think out the gate I'm taking a 6'6 guy who's won a couple of national championships in college. That's a great question, man. Honestly, that's a great question, Hawk. Right now, man, both guys have been battling injuries throughout their career. You know, we're looking for Trevor to make that leap. He was the first number one overall pick in the entire draft. So expectation-wise, one would expect him to be, you know, further along than Tua is right now. Although Tua is a, you know, early round pick guy and a franchise guy, I don't know if either guys have lived up to their draft pick potential. Tua, he's dealt with the concussions, so that makes it tough on him. I don't know. When he's healthy, he has shown a lot of upside, a lot more than Trevor had. You know, I believe, what was it, 2 years ago, before the concussions got really bad? What was it, 4,000 plus yards passing or something like that? So when McDaniels first arrived. So has shown some potential. Then he had the setbacks, obviously, with the concussions and stuff. And then the team just started to kind of dissipate, and all sorts of stuff started to happen to the Dolphins over the last 2 years. Trevor, his best game was probably the playoff games in which he threw four picks, but he came back and brought them back, and they were able to go to divisional round to face the Chiefs. Other than that, I don't see any real standout performances. So Trevor, I believe, has a long way to go. You know, there are some whispers there in Jacksonville that, you know, not that they're not happy with him. I'm happy with Trevor. I know I still have faith in Trevor. I love him as a person. Still waiting for him to make that leap. And hopefully Liam Cohen can help him, you know, take that leap. And he's had several coordinators in his 4-5 year career. 5 year career. So it's been some ups and downs. He had a rocky start with Urban Meyer there. But I don't know, smart, has the tools, he just has to turn it over, man. Pound for pound, I don't see a huge difference in terms of output between the two guys.
Freddie, with that, talking about Liam Cohen, Duval, that's your man. But talking about him, and then McDaniel is really on the hot seat, bro. I think this year, him and Chris Greer at Miami, the GM, they have to do something. They have to win a playoff game, have won a playoff game 25 years and all that. But through your time, like, how much does the coach matter? If you were talented, bro, you were 230 running a 4-2. That's just God-given. Like you said, God helped you, and you ran around dirty-ass Belgrade and got faster. But
don't talk about Belgrade that way.
Yeah, what are you talking about my hometown, bro? I got big pride in my hometown.
But, Fred, how much to the thing about Tua, McDaniel, now Trevor and Liam Cohen, how much does the coach, how much does the scheme help a player that's naturally talented? Tua is naturally talented, and Trevor Lawrence is naturally talented. But now, what does a coach do for a player like that?
I mean, I think systems matter. Just take Andy Reid, for example. He's like the QB whisperer, right? He's had some QBs in his time, Alex Smith, a few other guys. Alex Smith left KC, went off to Washington. You didn't hear about him again. You know, you have guys like when Big Red was in Philly, the Donovan McNabbs, you know, what he was able to do for McNabb in his career. Even Mike Vick later in his career when he got up to Philly. And now what he's doing over in KC, you can plug and play almost. Let me be careful saying this, because Patty Mahomes, he does things that we've never seen before. But that just accentuates, it just makes him that much better, that much more elite to pair him up with Andy Reid. We've seen backups get in that system and do well. You know, I'm having a brain slippage here.
Miami.
Who was in Jacksonville? Henny. Right. He's gotten in there a few opportunities and played well under that system. So systems matter. Coaches matter. How you're coached matter. You know, the Brady Belichick conversation. Brady's great, but Bill taught Brady how to be a pro. So you have to have these quarterback coach relationships, but the actual systems matter. And you have to put time on task. You know, I don't know how much time these guys are getting in with their coordinators or their QB coach or even the head coach. But all of that stuff matters, man. And you can see one guy play at, you know, 80% somewhere, but he goes to another system and he lights out because the system is simplified. When McDaniel first arrived here in Miami, everybody thought the Dolphins going to be unstoppable. They were doing some amazing things. The league was on notice. And then the league caught up with it. And then now you see some struggles here and there. I do think they have to win this year. I do think the media is going to double down and press that issue, and the ownership, they're going to pay attention to that. You know, that's kind of how Coach Coughlin ended up getting out of Jacksonville. The media kind of doubled down, said he's working the guys too hard. They need a player-friendly coach. A year later, he was fired. I believe he was fired 2 years too soon because he was in the Super Bowl three years after that with the Giants. But that's neither here nor there. But coaches matter. Coaches got to put the time in. They can't cut corners. They got to put the time in. The quarterback's got to, you know, make it their job. They got to live in the building. And as long as those two are firing on all cylinders, you give yourself an opportunity to be successful across the board as a unit, as a team.
To that point, Fred, I think one of the bigger concerns outside regarding the Dolphins is what's going on inside the locker room with Mike McDaniel, with his presence as a head coach, and even, you know, Tyreek Hill. Everybody knows the situation there. I just wonder, you were captain in Jacksonville. You were somebody who was widely respected across the league. How would you deal with that situation where you have a head coach? And I'm talking about as a leader in that locker room, right? You have a head coach. Some people maybe overstepped their boundaries with him a season ago. He's trying to regain some of that respect. And you have a quote-unquote leader, the superstar of the team, who quit on the team last year and this year is trying to get back into the good graces of the locker room.
Yeah, I mean, the players got to vet the locker room. You got to have some guys in the locker room that really want to win, that's going to snatch, you know, the living crap out of that person and say, look, we're not doing that. Like, this is how it's supposed to be. You know, coach maybe needs a bodyguard, a player. He needs someone on the team that's on his side, someone that really cares about winning football. And they got to throw all the other stuff out. Who is that guy in Miami? Who's that guy down here? You know, in Jacksonville, we had a few guys that policed the locker room. And that's what made us as good as we were when we were good. We had guys in the locker room that can do that. In New England, when I was there, you know, the Tom Brady's, people bought in, the Willie McGinnis's, you know, before I got there. Like, that was their people talk about culture, but I think that's misuse term a lot of times. I think it should be more about, you know, what's their what's the standard? What's the standard in Miami? Regardless of whatever the respect level is for McDaniel, what do we want to be as men, right? As football players, we want to come and just steal checks and not do anything. We want to come party and hang out South Beach, you know, Brickell. Like, what do we want to do? It's already enough distractions here. Or do we want to tap in and really play football? These guys got to ask, they got to find out their why. You know, it ain't got nothing to do with Coach McDaniels, right? It's about the guys in the locker room showing up and policing that locker room. And then McDaniels, he can kind of coach and take some off his plate and not worry about being friends with those guys. It's about the locker room, and they got to figure it out in that locker room.
Fred Taylor, I mean, we're going to have you on during football season if you've got the time, because we enjoy talking to you. How, because we're out of time, how can people get, because Crowder can't answer any of this stuff, how can people get the Pivot Energy Drink? Because every time we ask Crowder about anything going on, anything we ask him about the Pivot, who'd you have on? I don't know. When does it drop? I don't know. What are you guys emceeing? I don't know. How can people get the brand new Pivot Energy Drink?
Yeah, the Pivot is just one of those machines that just keep rolling. We don't know most of the time, but somehow it happens. But no,
no, you Pivot. Know, Crowder doesn't know. It's not we. You know, Crowder doesn't know.
He doesn't check his text messages. He's an awful texter. But no, it's at pivotenergydrink.com is where you can get it. So it'll be in the store shortly. What we wanted to do was, via our community that watches the podcast, we just want to increase visibility there first and foremost, so that when it is in the stores, people are aware that it's in the stores. Otherwise, it will just sit on the shelf. And if you're not selling X amount of SKUs within on a weekly basis, then they snatch you off the shelf. So right now, strategically, we're only pushing it through pivotenergy.com, soon to be Amazon to follow here. But if you just tap into the podcast, we have the QR code and all different other places that we can send you to the website to purchase. So it's an amazing product, we believe, in a competitive space, but it's good. We did really well with it. So we got to sip you guys some cases so you guys can check it out.
Do you see how smart my airport husband is?
Bro,
oh my goodness! Start talking about oh my SKUs, goodness!
When he started talking about moving SKUs because they're gonna rip the shelf space away if you don't, like, melodic. That's a businessman right there.
Hey, so did you catch that? Right, he called me his airport husband. So yeah. I give him my hookup. I have concierge key when we fly, or most times. My status is a lot better than his. He just got TSA pre-check, so I get him on the plane. I get him to skip his boarding class. He was like, oh, this is just my boo right here, my airport husband. I'm his husband when we're boarding flights. It's awful and embarrassing.
Because I'm zone 7. He's concierge key. Right. I'm getting on with Freddie.
He's zone -1. He boards before the pilot.
Yeah, they drive him to the plane. I ride right with him. Hey, this is my airport husband. Can I get on? No problem, sir. Go on, get on the plane.
I got to start traveling with Fred. I was looking at my Snapchat today. It was on this day. You and I, Crowder, were in Vegas. We were flying out of Vegas on this day 8 years ago, and I was snapping you outside of the Burger King in the airport. He ordered a fish sandwich at 9:30 in the morning at Burger King as we were leaving Vegas. So I had to put it on video. But that's what happened. That's my airport husband, the guy who's ordering fish sandwiches at Burger King before we get on a morning flight.
Look, he orders Popeyes at 1 a.m. We touch down anywhere. He's ordering Uber Eats, Wendy's, Popeyes, whatever he can get his hand on. I'm like, just go to sleep. Sleep it off, man.
Hey. Freddie, I'd be hungry, Freddie. Man, we've been running around all day.
Nah, you're undisciplined, brother. I tell you. Hey, you're a great cook and great everything else, but when it comes to discipline or health and fitness, you just throw it all out. You throw it all away. You don't care.
Won't even need it with the Pivot Energy drink. Pivot Energy drink does it for you.
It's delicious. I
need your QC Kinetics plugs. I need to get some. My spinal cord. I need a spinal tap. What Mike Tyson said. I need a spinal tap. Spinal. I need your plug over there.
I got you, bro.
All right. Fred Taylor, we appreciate your time, man. Thank you, Fred.
Anytime, fellas. Much respect.
There you go. Fred Taylor went a little long there. It's going to start the next segment a little bit late.
This is Hawk, Crowder, and Solana.
I'm just saying that I'm Hawk. We talk Tua. Hawk Tua.